Well, it's good that we can be together this evening for this time to spend together in the worship of God. See, you had a good number present for your worship service this morning. Not quite as many back this evening as we were then. Just wondering if it may be the result of some people hearing that the world was supposed to have ended yesterday. Some folks have decided that there was going to be some planted that was going to be in a certain position, and I thought at first that it was to be a big collision, but evidently that's not the case. It's some of the misunderstanding, misapplication of scriptures that certain signs are to take place in the heavens, and they got those signs all mixed up. I was reading this afternoon where someone made the observation that these signs happen every 12 years. So there's been quite a few times that those signs have taken place over the years. If you would take your New Testament, turn to the book of Galatians, and there in the book of Galatians, if I can get my eyes focused, that's one of the things about changing up your eyes and they still don't focus too well. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, I believe we have, the sixth chapter rather, beginning in the first verse of the chapter, Paul says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burden." In those five verses that we have just read, you will notice what to many people appears to be a contradiction. Paul talks about here, first of all, a responsibility of bearing other people's burdens. And then he turns around and says, every man must bear his own burden. And so people say, well, that's a contradiction. How do you explain that? I thought that would be a good lesson for this evening. It emphasizes a responsibility that we have as members of the body of Christ, one toward another, in bearing burdens, and yet at the same time, burdens that we must bear ourselves. So we'll talk about the subject. If you want to write down a heading for the subject, just say, "Burdens we share, burdens we bear." Actually, here Paul is using two different words in the original language that are translated bearing, or the burden that we bear. One has to do with burdens that evidently are those that others can share in to help an individual. And then there are those that no one can help you with. They may do certain things, but still there's a responsibility that each individual has. This matter of the sharing of burdens is a lesson that is so needed by those that profess to be Christians today. Sharing the burdens of life. And notice here, this is a very important statement that Jesus says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." This matter of the bearing of burdens, then, is of great importance. It's not something that we can just say, well, I don't have a lot of interest in other people. Their problems are not my problems. There's nothing that I can do to help out, and so I'll just stay out of other people's business. That attitude of being isolated from others is to miss one of the very basic principles of the teaching of the New Testament concerning what is responsible, what one is responsible as a Christian toward other members of the body of Christ. So many times this expression or this idea of the church being a body, what affects one affects others. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians in chapter 12 about this same principle. Rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. There is then that mutual feeling, mutual responsibility that we have there in the bearing of burdens. Let us think for a few moments about some of the burdens that we can share with others. Now, when I say that we are to share with others, still there's a sense in which, regardless of what other people do, let's just use the personal illustration. I have responsibilities. Other people have responsibilities toward me as I have toward them, those who are members of the body of Christ. And when we think of that, sometimes people have the attitude, well, other people are not acting toward me the way they should. They're not helping me out of the situations that I'm in, and so I feel no responsibility toward them. Well, regardless, I am responsible for carrying out my responsibilities to do what the Lord imposes upon me. Now, it makes it better in cases where others can share in those burdens, that they do what they can do to be of help and encouragement toward me. But after all is said and done, regardless of whether other members of the congregation or Christians in general, regardless of whether they fulfill their responsibility toward me, still I have the responsibility myself. And we'll make another comment too about that when we get down to the next point in the burdens that we must bear. When we think of some of the burdens that we are to share, no better place to begin than the context of the passage. Paul here makes a statement, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, he's talking about another brother in Christ, another member of the body of Christ. If that individual is overtaken in a trespass, here he tells us perhaps about the reason that that individual succumbs to the temptation that he's confronted with. It's something that overtakes him, as the expression is. It's not something that, as we say, he just walks into with both eyes open and in open defiance and say, I know the problem is here, I know the temptation is here, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's not what he's talking about. That gets back to, like in the Old Testament, the concept of a presumptuous sin. And there were sacrifices that were to be offered under the law for the sin that was committed unknowingly or unwittingly. But yet the presumptuous sin, there wasn't a sacrifice for it. Because that sin that was committed in that presumptuous way, I don't care what God says about it. Don't care what it does to others or to myself. I'm going to do it anyway. Person would not change his mind. He would not turn, as the Bible says, that must be one must turn from that sin. He must repent of his sin. And so that man that commits the presumptuous sin is not going to be one that will be led to repentance. But here Paul speaks of that individual that is overtaken in some kind of trespass. It may be something that just because of the weakness of the flesh or a number of other reasons perhaps, that one is led astray. James, I believe, talks about the same thing in the 5th chapter of the book of James, when he says, if one errs from the truth, and one restores such a one, let him know that he that restores the sinner from the error of his way saves a soul from death and covers a multitude of sin. The concept of that statement, erring from the truth, is a term that was used about these heavenly plantings and the pathway as God has designed the planets and all these other heavenly beings move around in a particular order. And here is one that strays out of the path a little bit. This is really what some have suggested is what we talked about at the very beginning. If a planet gets out of its normal orbit, what's going to happen? Well, it gets out of that path, and before you know it, it just gains extra speed as it is departing from that path. But James says, one that departs there, who errs from the truth, and one is to convert him. That's what Paul is talking about here. That individual that is overtaken in a trespass. And this is the very context where he says, bear one another's burdens. When we see another individual that is facing temptation, trials, that we know perhaps by experience, what we can read out from the New Testament, that such is going to lead that individual away till he eventually reaches a point where he just turns his back completely upon the Lord. And as a result of that, to be lost. But there's a time, there's an opportunity. This matter of church discipline, there's been a little bit discussed on this recently in some of the Bible classes here on Wednesday night, as we're here on Wednesday night, about the matter of that individual that commits sin and who needs to be restored. Too often, I'm afraid this matter of discipline is something that takes place only as a result of an individual just completely leaving the right relationship with God. This matter, this responsibility of bearing burdens, is to prevent that. It is to keep it from reaching that point where one separates himself from God, separates himself from others who are faithfully serving the Lord. Seeing signs and indications of an individual who is facing trials, difficulties, where you know that he is being exposed to temptation, it's a matter of encouragement to that individual to say, consider your ways. Consider the path that your feet are taking, as the writer in Proverbs states, and not depart from that way. That individual then needs encouragement. This is a matter then of the law of Christ. What Paul is talking about here, fulfilling the law of Christ. You remember, Jesus, in stating that law of Christ, had to do with one's relationship to his fellow brother, that one was to love others as they would love God. A man who says that he loves God whom he has not seen, and yet he doesn't love his brother whom he has seen, how dwells the love of God in that individual? So here is a matter of demonstrating that love that the Lord says that we're to have for his his people, his children. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And so that matter of a concern for others, that matter of being of encouragement, even if they actually are overtaken in that trespass, to restore that individual. A matter of the law of Christ as it has to do with love one another as one would love the Lord. This matter of the restoring, a couple of interesting terms that are used here, or a couple of ways in which the term is used, to restore. Understand, comes from a word that was used in two ways back in the days of the New Testament. One had to do with people. Some of the disciples of the Lord were familiar with this. They were fishermen. And as they would go about their everyday business, many times their nets would break, develop a hole in them. And the word had to do originally with the mending of that net, making it where it could serve its purpose again. Then a second term, or second use of that word, was a medical term. It had to do with the idea of a bone that was broken. And it had to do with placing that bone back together. We use the term to set the bone so it will heal properly, so that that individual who has suffered that loss can be restored to a useful place where the arm or the leg, whatever part has been broken, he's able then to serve as he should. Bearing burdens in that way. A second thought about that burden that we are to share has to do with lending strength and encouragement, support, perhaps to people that have a despondent heart. Person that is discouraged. One of the interesting passages of Scripture over in the book of Hebrews uses the idea, a picture that I'm told was one that many of those Jews from different places were familiar with, as they would go up from time to time to the city of Jerusalem for the feast. Great multitudes would come from far distances. You can imagine people walking through difficult circumstances, and the writer draws on this expression or this picture, the idea of an individual that's walking along, and perhaps because of his weakness, other problems that he might have, the writer gives the encouragement to strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, lest they be turned out of the way. I can appreciate that. I often tell people I've gotten to the point where very seldom do I ever go anywhere without my crutch. And it's not the one that I have here on the front. It's the one that I can hold on to. And she helps me to get around in crowds and things of that nature. But the encouragement that can come. Many difficulties. It may be something that has to do with, as we say, some of the burdens of life. It may be at times financial matters. The loss of a loved one because of death. Matters such as this. That individual needs to be encouraged. And to encourage such is following the pattern that the Lord set. Matthew records in chapter 12 and verse 20 a statement concerning the conduct of the Lord while he's upon earth. He says concerning his dealing with other individuals, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall not and he shall not quench till he send forth judgment unto victory. Again, that picture of a bruised reed, a flower perhaps, that somehow is broken, and he wouldn't finish it up. He wouldn't finish breaking it. He would do whatever he could to restore that which was broken in that sense. The encouragement of others, that which brings out the best in others. And we say it's not to wait until someone begins to show signs of weakness and being overtaken by temptation, but to give words of encouragement. I'm often reminded of an occasion back over in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel. David had been promised the king, the kingship, the kingdom of Israel. You'll recall that Saul had been attempting to take the life of David. Some of the men that served under David wanted David just to, since he had that promise that God was going to make him king, to exert his power, his authority, even to take the life of King Saul. David refused to do so. There are different opportunities that he had. And David says that I will not raise the sword. He would not take that kind of action. Whatever the Lord was going to accomplish, whatever was necessary in bringing about the situation where he would be elevated to king over the kingdom, that's God's business. And if God says you're going to be king, you're going to be king. But one time when David was especially threatened by King Saul, it seemed that many of the leaders, the people, turned against him. The son of Saul, Jonathan, came to David, and he knew that David was to be the future king. And so he told David this. He said, just reminded him, God's made a promise to you. You're going to be king. Don't worry. And the scripture says concerning that Jonathan strengthened the hand of David. He encouraged him, is what he's talking about. But as we said, that sometimes others have a responsibility toward others to help them to overcome their difficulties. Still, it comes down to the individual response. There's another occasion where the writer says concerning David that David strengthened his hand in the Lord. And so you see what Jonathan did for David, what David did for himself. Now, what if Jonathan had not done anything? David would still have been responsible for holding fast to that promise. Well, time is getting by. Let's think for just a moment about some of those burdens that we must bear ourselves. We said that those burdens are those that have to do with individual responsibilities. There are certain commandments that are given by God to the individual that in the long run, no one else can actually help in that case in the sense of bearing the burden. Now, one may encourage, but still that individual stands before God responsible for that obedience to that command himself. No one can be accountable for us in such matters because the apostle says, Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Different passages emphasize that point, that appearing before the judgment seat of Christ is an individual thing. No one can answer for us. No one can obey the gospel for you. You know, there are some in our world today, the Mormons, for example, teach that a person can do something that is of benefit to an individual that Perhaps is already dead. Baptism for the dead. I've forgotten how many times, but one of the queens of England, it's up into the thousands of people that have been baptized for that particular person, according to the teaching of the Mormon people. Well, you can't do that. It's an individual responsibility. A parent cannot be obedient for his child. Well, in the religious world, there are those who say they are answering for their child. No, you don't answer for the child. You have a responsibility to teach the child, and that child will be responsible as it makes choices and then actions that proceed from those choices that are made. Christians are to develop a spiritual appetite, that they're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about the man that would hunger and thirst for righteousness. I believe that the greatest problem that we have today, greatest problem that's ever been along this line, so far as Christians are concerned, is the lack of that spiritual appetite. We can do something about the spiritual appetite. We can encourage one another, but eventually we are all responsible. One grows as he has an appetite that leads him to take the food that is essential for growth and development. But I'm responsible for that. I have talked with people over the years, members of the church, and I've had people tell me, I realize that I'm just not as strong as I need to be spiritually. Okay, that's half the battle. You realize that you need to be different. Then what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to become stronger? Well, we know what does that. We're to feed upon the Word of God. We're to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Strengthened by that truth that is revealed to us in the Word of God. No one can have that appetite for us. No one can grow as we are supposed to be growing as Christians. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. No one else can fight the battles of temptation for you. Now, others may encourage you. Don't get involved in that. If you do get involved, here's what you can do to overcome. All of that is true. But still, we are all responsible for whether we yield to that temptation. No one can live the purity of life that the gospel demands of us. New Testament teaches that we are to keep ourselves pure. Others can encourage us, but still, it comes back to the choice that we make. Well, I'm confident that you can see and that you could add many other matters here concerning responsibilities wherein we can be of encouragement to other people to help them bear their load. And yet, we have a load ourselves. But in conclusion, let me look at it from this standpoint. None of us are ever going to perfectly help others to bear their load. There'll be failures in life. None of us will ever bear our own load perfectly by ourselves. Isn't it good? Isn't it a wonderful thing? The New Testament talks about the fact that we have one that can help us. The Apostle Peter writes about this matter, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for your soul. The Lord is the one that can help bear the burden. In Matthew 11, beginning in 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Now notice the next expression. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. Jesus says then that he's willing to share the load. There's some things that only he can do in this matter of the bearing of the burdens of life. Whether it's personal tragedies, whether it's those things that affect us because of the loss of others and loss of property, things of this nature, he can be of help. And aren't we happy that we can have such a one? As the Hebrew writer says, one who is tempted in all points as we're tempted, yet without sin. He is one that can succor, one who can give help and assistance to those that are in need of that help and encouragement. But before one can expect the Lord to do that, he must be obedient to the word, to the law, to the will of Christ. To be in that relationship where one, in reality, can call him Lord. Jesus said to some people in his day, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say or command of you?" Different translations there. One who would do the things that the Lord would command of. And that has to do with that individual that has never been obedient to the commandments of the Lord. His faith in him, his willingness to be obedient to him and turning from his sin and be united with him in baptism. And then sometimes, as we said in the very beginning, there are people that wander away. Sometimes they are entrapped in sin. They err from the truth, and they need to come back. And the only hope that we can have then is when we return back to the Lord. The Lord's promised that he will hear, will accept that individual that is willing to listen to him to do what he says. That's the study for this evening. Should there be those here in the audience who need to render obedience to the gospel of the Lord, we'd encourage you, we'd admonish you to do that while we stand and sing this song that's been announced.